We've come to 1910 and we're also in Heart and Mind virtually visiting Shankill, Ballstown, on the old main road between Kilkenny and Carlow, just as one comes to the county boundary. And as we think of those who worship in the lovely First Fruits Church at Ballstown by the side of the road, we also think of neighbouring Shankill Castle, which is quite a focal point these days of tourism and hospitality. It has its very distinctive tea rooms, and perhaps again as we pray for the revival of tourism and renewal of visitor presence among us and all that it means to the economy and society, we remember for all who work in small scale tourism initiatives that try to welcome visitors among us and to give them a sense of our heritage. 1910, thinking about heritage. In 1910, the King, Edward VII, died on May the 6th. It was the last death of a king while Ireland as a whole was still part of the United Kingdom. Famously and controversially, perhaps influenced by Yeats, the Abbey Theatre in Dublin didn't close its stage in mourning. It was one of those symbolic moments where people lined up on each side to display their sympathies and their loyalties. Such symbolic moments can make a profound statement, but they can also be divisive. Of course, it was made clear that nothing was held against the late king personally, but only against his claim to the Irish crown. And at a different kind of level of literature, in Plunkett's famous novel Strumpet City, Rasher's Tierney, the rather miserable church boilerman, sits astride his pile of coal, filthy, and in a kind of love-hate way, lamenting the death of the person he rather disparagingly calls King Eddie, and saying to himself, 'Twas his chest that killed King Eddie. Too many cigars and high living, probably, over in London. Anyway, over the coming years, such moments as occurred in Ireland at the death of King Edward, and this continued right into an independent Ireland, into the Free State, such moments kept occurring that tested identity and loyalty. In some parts of the Church of Ireland, where there were people who, on the one hand, lamented the old ways and who, on the other hand, fervently embraced the nationalist vision. In some parts of the Church of Ireland, the playing of God Save the Queen, finding excuses to play it and judging the response to it, remained, to say the least, awkward. Until the declaration of the Republic in 1948 and the end of what De Valera had called external association with the British Crown removed the final vestiges of reference to the King in Irish law and the final excuses for playing God Save the King. Not long after the final reason to play it lawfully disappeared, there's a story told of a church not far from here, although not in this diocese, where a senior parishioner of the old school and a young rector with a very different political view came, as it were, in contradiction with each other when, on Remembrance Sunday, the instinct to sing God Save the King at the end of the service was followed, and the young clergyman sat down. The senior parishioner stormed into the vestry and said to him, "Padre, why did you sit down for the king?" To which the priest instantly replied, "Well, why did you sit down for the Lord's Prayer?" More seriously, there was a great deal of agonising over state prayers, how to pray for the new state as it emerged, and prayers for the crown were dropped. There was a lot of discussion about the proper words to find to pray for the president and for those in authority, and many people lamented the final departure of the king from the liturgy. One parishioner in Kilkenny, I believe, actually wrote to the king at Buckingham Palace and got an answer saying how it had brought tears to her eyes that she no longer could pray for him in our parish church as she had done all her life. When I was chaplain in Trinity College in the 1990s and we were having a service in London to give thanks for 400 years of the college in 1992 and remember its foundation by the first Queen Elizabeth, there was a lot of debate about how we would pray for those in authority when we went corporately to Westminster for a special service. And a lovely phrase was found, which I think went back to the state prayer controversies of the 1940s, that we would pray for the President of Ireland and Queen Elizabeth II, in whose dominions we were by no means strangers, which of course showed the special treatment of Irish citizens that continued within the United Kingdom. Anyway, as the Church of Ireland travelled beyond the death of King Edward VII and ultimately successfully through and beyond independence, just as it had done through disestablishment. Although the new status quo was relatively rapidly and positively and widely accepted, nevertheless, abandoning loyalty to the crown took a certain toll on the souls of some, although by no means not all.